Study of God's Word. This is today's modern worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, What Were the Fantastic Four Gifts from Jesus? And I want to ask, in what ways did the early church depart from the truth in Scripture, and how did we get back to the truth?
From God our Creator and from Jesus Christ our Redeemer and Savior, amen. Has anybody ever heard of or seen the movie The Fantastic Four? It's a story of four people who get superpowers and become superheroes. And if the four of them are together, they're unstoppable against all their foes. Well, the story is actually really ridiculous and fantasy, ultimately. But what I'd like to share with you today is God's Fantastic Four, which is neither ridiculous nor fantasy. But rather, it is truth and power for our help and for our salvation. What do I mean? God's Fantastic Four. These are foundational truths that Jesus gave to us to stand upon in our faith so that we might not only be saved but be overcomers in life. If we lose any one of these superheroes, any one of these fantastic four of God, we are lost, we'll falter, we will be adrift, we will be in big, big trouble. But God, during the days of the Reformation, restored to us what was lost. Jesus gave it to the church. Over time, these four were lost. God restored it in the days of Luther and the Reformers. And so, what are God's fantastic four? Let's take a look at these things today. Rocks upon which you can stand for your, you will stand for your salvation. So, let's take a look at the first one. What's the first superhero foundational truth that Jesus gave to his church, which was over time lost, but which was restored by Jesus through men like Luther and the Reformers? What do you think it is? Well, we're going to get to that one. Scripture alone for determining the truth of what we believe. Now, what do I mean by that? Luther came to believe, and rightly so, that the 66 canonical books of the Old and New Testaments are the sole authority for determining the faith of the Christian and discerning the truth. And he didn't pull that out of a hat. Jesus gave that to us, to his people, to the church at the start, at the beginning. For example, let me give you a couple scriptures. In Psalm 119, it's written, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is firmly fixed in the heavens, and thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." In the New Testament, Jesus says, "Scripture cannot be broken." That's John chapter 10. Looking back here at Luke 16, Jesus says, "It's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void." In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Now, when Jesus was contending in the wilderness with the devil, right? Remember that? In Luke chapter 4 and Matthew, I think it's 4. What did he do? Did he quote rabbis? Did he quote the words of philosophers or theologians? What did he do? Jesus stuck with Scripture alone, and he said to the devil, "It is written! It is written! It is written!" And Jesus gave that to the church, to us, to stand on all our lives long. The Word of God is like a solid rock. And actually, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says, "All Scripture is inspired by God." What's that mean? The word in the Greek for inspired means God breathed. It came from his mouth. These are his words for us to stand on and to live by the truth. And this was something that was restored, the first of God's fantastic four. Now, Paul predicted that in the days to come after his departure, after he left, that there would come times when this would be lost by the church. He says to the people in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, he says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood, his son's own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce and savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, in God. So what does that tell you? In the days to come after Paul, the church was going to lose Scripture alone. Certain parts of the church. And did we see that happen? Over the course of centuries, especially the Roman Catholic Church departed from the truth of Scripture alone and came in to have doctrines of men, where they would dispute this man said or this man said, rather than the word of God says. And you get doctrines like prayers to the saints, which we were talking about in the Bible class this morning. Prayers to Joseph. Oh, Jude, save these things. Oh, Jude, find my keys for me. Or such things, right? You ever done that? Need to sell a house. Who do you go to? St. Joseph or something? I don't even know. These are not scriptural, okay? Prayers to Mary. Invoking her as the queen of heaven. Actually, of Mary, they made her, outside of Scripture, her perpetual virginity, that she was without sin, and that she was assumed into heaven, straight into heaven, didn't even die, and that she was a co-redemptrix, a co-mediatrix. You know what that means? A redeemer, a mediator, whereas there is only one redeemer, and there's one mediator, that's Jesus Christ. Mary had a great part to play. Let's not call her redeemer and mediator. You also had doctrines come in like the purgatory. What is that? That's departing from Scripture alone. You as well have the celibacy of the priests in the Second Lateran Council in 1139. What's that say? Priests can't marry. If we look at that today, what have we seen are the results of that doctrine? Terrible things, right? Do you know that that was actually predicted by Paul in 1 Timothy 4? He says, the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by giving heed to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons through the pretensions of liars whose consciences are seared, who, and watch this, they will forbid marriage and they will command abstinence from foods, that's required fasts, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Is it good to depart from the Word of God? It's terrible to depart from Scripture alone. You are going into quicksand. In 1870, they had papal infallibility. That's a new doctrine, which teaches the Pope cannot err in any doctrine if he's speaking from his chair. It's impossible for him to err. And in Luther's day, you had the selling of indulgences, pieces of paper by which you could buy forgiveness of sins, ultimately. And so to depart from Scripture is a big problem. And it gets a big mess. Is anybody in your life here departed from Scripture alone? Once you step out of Scripture alone into something else, you go into quicksand. I know in my own life, I've grew up in the church and I love Scripture, but I didn't really know it very well. And I went into my adult life reading New Age or reading Eastern mysticism or Native American mysticism, thinking I could sprinkle these into my faith. That was disastrous. You've never seen a worse disaster in your life. It leads to destruction and oppression. And I was in bondage. Luther felt in bondage. He was in despair. He was a great trembling of his soul because the Catholic Church had lost the gospel, having lost Scripture alone. But when he was directed to the Scripture alone to study it, and he read the gospel in there, he said, I felt like I entered into open gates into paradise. How about you guys? Scripture alone, is that your foundation? Amen? Luther said, everyone should flee as from the devil himself. All the enthusiasts who lead us away from the word and Scripture to human ideas, as do the Pope and others. For this is leading from a rock into quicksand. The more you try to gain a footing there, apart from the word, the deeper you sink. And it's impossible to avoid finally going down. God's word alone is true, abiding rock on which a person can depend with certainty. And you know what happened to Luther? The Catholic Church said, you have to recant your positions. They said that at what's called the Diet of Worms. They said, you must recant. And what did he say? Here I stand, I can do no other. I must stand on the Word of God. And I was put to the test in that same way in the ELCA when I was pushed back to the seminary. Remember that? To have that interrogation board of the bishop to question me on my faith. And I put my Bible down in front of them at that table, and no one else had a Bible. And I had to introduce them. I said, let's read the scriptures. And at the end, they said, Greg, your ability to go on to ordination in the ELCA is dependent upon how willing you are to be changed by the voices and the authorities and the leaders of the ELCA. And I said, Professor so-and-so, I won't give her a name, I said, I'm more than willing to be changed in all my theology by the leaders of the ELCA, provided you do so with the scriptures and show me where I'm not in accord with this word. You'll just be helping me meet it to my goal. But I refuse to be changed apart from these scriptures, and especially on things that are contrary to these scriptures. Here I stand, and one of the professors said, so in other words, you're saying, here I stand, I can do no other? I said, mm-hmm. I just nodded. I didn't want to say it too loudly, but I'll tell you, it's quicksand to go outside of it. Let's never depart from Scripture alone, the first of God's fantastic four. For every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him, says Proverbs. All right, that's the first hero, superhero. Do you love, let's say hooray for the superhero. Hooray. Scripture alone, that's fantastic, that's a rock. What's the second one? Well, Scripture alone points us to how we are saved. And this also came to light in the Reformation. God, Jesus, brought it to Luther. He opened the scriptures, and Scripture alone taught him, it's by grace that you're saved, Luther. By grace, as a gift of God. Now that was very foreign to his mind, because the Catholic Church was teaching, it's by your works, by your righteousness, by your merits, that you'll earn heaven. What does the Catholic Church say about grace? Because the Bible says we're saved by grace. They say grace is something God puts into you to help you to keep God's law, so that by keeping God's law, you will justify yourself by the law and so be saved. And Luther was like, I can't keep God's law. And it led him to terrible, terrible despair. Do you know what the Bible says about keeping the law? The Bible says the law brings wrath. That's Romans chapter 7. Galatians 3 says everybody who relies on works of the law are under a curse. James, in his letter, says if you keep the whole law but fail in one point, you become guilty of all of it. No human being shall justify himself in God's sight by works of the law, says Paul. And so what the church was teaching and what the truth was were contrary. But the truth of Scripture teaches it's by grace. God saves you as a gift. Anybody been watching Donald Trump? Everybody's been watching Donald Trump, right? And he likes to say in his speeches, I make over $1 million a day, $400 million a year. I want to ask and challenge any of you out there right now, can you go out and buy Donald Trump's estate? Anybody? Even if you worked all year, you'd never do it. If you can't buy Donald Trump's estate, how are you going to buy God's estate? For Donald Trump is just a tiny speck in a flea, not to speak poorly on him, but he's a speck in a flea next to God Almighty. You cannot purchase heaven. It must come to you as a gift. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this isn't your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. Think about that. Do you receive heaven as a gift today? Everything that God has to give you comes as a gift of the King. You can't earn it. Luther came to see this and he said, I felt like I entered through open gates into paradise when this second of the God's fantastic four presented itself in the Scripture. By grace you are saved, as a gift. For the wages of sin is death, says Romans 6. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do you feel like you are entering into open gates into paradise today? It's a gift, friends. And how do we receive it? We got to look to the third of the heroes of the Fantastic Four. It's through faith alone, right? Thank you, Corrine. Through faith alone. Luther opened the scriptures, and it taught him he's saved by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Let's think about that. Jesus says in John chapter 5, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Can you hear those words like good news from a faraway land to a thirsty soul? If you believe in Jesus and his word, you can be saved through faith. You are saved through faith, and you're not condemned. It says in John 3:18, he who believes in him, in Jesus, is not condemned. You've passed out of death into life. Paul says to Peter, we ourselves, we're Jews by birth. We know that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And he repeats that several times. Not by works, but through faith. Was this lost in the church in those old days? And still is today if you go there. Is it lost? Well, they're going to teach in Luther's day and still today, you're going to be saved by your own righteousness, by keeping the law, by grace helping you, but you're keeping the law by your own righteousness. Is that true? That you're saved by your own righteousness? Well, we are called to live righteously and to follow Jesus Christ. It's very important. But let's see whether it's our own righteousness by which we're justified. Let's take a look at Philippians chapter 3. Paul says this, for his sake, for Christ's sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, says Paul. In other words, all of his perfect keeping of the law, his blamelessness before the law, his zeal as a Pharisee, he says, I throw it into the garbage can. All my righteousness according to the law. It's done. It's kaput. Kaputsky. It's dung. It is to be trashed, thrown out, smelly, terrible. That's my translation, okay? For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Does that excite you? How are you going to get to heaven? By keeping the law, by your own righteousness? Scripture says, no, you can't do it. Any more than you could buy Trump's estate. You can't do it. It must come as a gift. And at that cross, Jesus gave you that great gift. All your sins were placed upon him. And now he can give you all of his righteousness, which you receive by faith. The one who believes in Jesus Christ, by faith, he is reckoned as righteous, says God. In Romans 4, it says, ungodly people are reckoned as righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we're not to go out and live ungodly after that, but live according to, you know, follow him in joy and thanksgiving and obey. But it's by Christ's righteousness that a person is justified and saved. And Luther, when he said he came to believe that and see that in the scriptures, he felt like he'd entered through open gates into paradise. How about you today? This is the word of salvation, the power of the gospel, says God. We can look at another hero here. The final hero I'll share with you today, which is, what do you think it is? Scripture alone, saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Good Lutherans, you'd know this. Christ alone. This was another one of those heroes of the Fantastic Four that were lost. And if you lose this one, like if you lose any of the others, you are done. Kaputsky, right? You are finished. You are overcome. But with Christ alone, you stand on solid rock. And let me share with you about this. Acts chapter 4 says, Peter says, there is salvation in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Which name? You name it. By the name of Jesus. A man can be saved. There's no other name. You can go high and low and search in the Himalayas and the Andes and the farthest depths of the sea. You will find no other name. It's not Buddha, it's not Krishna, it's not any other religious leader, it's Jesus alone. And Luther grabbed onto this and he says, it must be him alone, for all the glory of the gospel must go to him. We can't give it to others, we can't give it to ourselves and say we're helping him. It's he giving us this gift, therefore all the boasting is in Christ and his cross, in Jesus alone. Amen? Amen. That's how you know you have the right gospel. Paul says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. If I'm saved by my own righteousness, who am I boasting in? Jesus and moi, and me. But God says, no, no, there is no possibility of that. My gospel is such that you can only boast in Jesus Christ. And that's the solid ground and footing for us. And this was another Fantastic Four superhero doctrine that was lost by the church. When they say you're saved by your own righteousness and Christ's. And in fact, I have a picture or two here. This was a picture from 1996 when the Pope, John Paul II, October 27th, 1996, had a religious worship service with leaders from all the religions of the world. And he joined with them in prayer, saying, we're all praying to the same God. Yikes! Look at that. He's right there. And he's praying with Muslims who are praying to Allah, Hindus praying to Krishna and a million other gods. He's praying with Native American Indian chiefs, with voodoo, witch doctors. Come on. That's not Christ alone. And in fact, I have a picture here. May 14th, 1996, here's Pope John Paul II kissing the Quran and bowing to it. He was given this as a gift, and the Catholic Church likes to say, oh, he's just showing a sign of respect. Well, guess what? So you want to give me a gift? I'm not going to bow to it. I'm not going to give it a kiss, okay? Far be it from me ever to kiss the Quran, because that says, the Quran says Jesus didn't die on a cross. I'm not going to be kissing that book, but he did. And so the church lost the superhero of the faith. In fact, Pope Francis has now had prayers to Allah, Quran, prayers in the Vatican in, I think it was June or July of 2014. First time ever. And so they lost this, but guess what? Jesus Christ is still, there is no salvation in anyone else. And when I stand on him, friends, I'm standing on a solid rock. Where else am I going to find someone to save me? If I want to be saved by faith, it's not that faith saves you because it's a virtue of itself. Faith saves us because of the one in whom you believe, right? Let's just picture, I'm getting toward the end here, so stay with me. If I jump off a cliff and I have two little popsicles that I believe are my wings and I start flapping with all sincerity and all faith in these things that they'll support me, what's going to happen when I jump off that cliff? Splat! I'm all over the place, okay? But if I jump off of a cliff attached to a hang glider, which is able to lift me up, my faith, even if it may be weak, if it's in the hang glider, the object of my faith, the hang glider, is able to lift me and support me and make me fly. And that's why faith alone and faith in Jesus alone justifies. In anything else, you're jumping off with popsicle sticks. In Jesus, you're leaning upon the Savior who is able to lift you up and bring you to heaven, because there's no one else in all the world who died for you to take away your sins and rose again from the dead. And I'll tell you, in all my life, there's been quick stand here and there, but since I've been on Christ, I've been walking on a solid rock. Maybe not an easy path, but it's been a rock, and it's been solid, and it's been straight, and all praise and glory and honor goes to him. And so I want to thank, before God, publicly, before you guys, in my testimony today, the foundation, truths of God's Fantastic Four. It's not scripture and, it's not by grace and faith and Christ and something else or someone else. I believe it's scripture alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. And having these things, I have solid hope for a place in God's everlasting kingdom forever. So thanks be to God for giving to us and restoring to us through Luther and others his Fantastic Four. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called What Were the Fantastic Four Gifts from Jesus? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages or leave a comment on this one, please visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week. in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.
This is Darrell Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
And we rise up with a cry, and we're giving you our life.